Just want to acknowledge all those folks that have served in the military one time or another, and I'll even include the Marines. Oh, Jim's not here. Anyway, if you've served, could you just stand up, please? Yes, sir. Thank you. Let's give these folks a hand. Thank you. Thank you for your service. I was just reading. You may have a seat now. I just was reading the other day that less than 0.1% of the Americans have ever served in the armed forces. That's a very small percentage, isn't it, as far as those who are alive. So it's a small group of people. You hear a lot about them. It's because I think they do so much work for our nation and securing our borders. We are going to find ourselves in the book of Matthew this morning. In the book of Matthew, if you'll turn your Bibles there to Matthew chapter number 7. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter number 7. And it's the title of the message is Signs of a False Prophet. The Signs of a False Prophet. Matthew chapter number 7. If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, would you lift them up? Good deal. It's a good thing to have your Bibles, whether digital or in paper form. years ago when I would preach and I would ask people to turn their Bibles into whatever chapter, you could hear throughout the congregations the onion skins on the pages being turned. It was a great feeling to know people were looking at the Word of God as we studied it and as we prepared our messages from it. The reason that I bring up this particular passage, I said, what would be a good topic if you were leaving a congregation? What would you say? I mean, you've got your goodbyes and all those other things, but you've also, more importantly, you have a biblical mandate to give out a warning or a shout to the congregation to beware of false prophets because they're out there. The Lord said, He predicted that they would come. And so as He speaks in Matthew chapter number 7, let me read it this morning out of the New King James translation as you read it from your translations. And I'm starting in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. And listen to what Jesus said. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. I'm sorry. You should have already known where it was, Colleen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, I begin reading again, and it says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, the Bible says, Jesus says, you will know them." You know, as I was looking over different posts and reading news articles, I used to be amazed to see people in clerical collars standing up and protesting, but here they were protesting for abortion, and it just stunned me. And these clerical people with their clerical collars and their robes, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wearing all those things, but I can tell you that it really gives an appearance of a wolf in sheep's clothing. And you know them by their fruit. And then Jesus knew that there would be false prophets. I won't cover the entire Old Testament, but they were Old Testament false prophets as well. Do you remember Jeremiah in that book when the prophet would speak out against those false prophets of their day that continue to say, "There's peace, peace." But the prophet Jeremiah would say, "There is no peace." As then God was not going to come and discipline the nation of Israel. So they came and they were dressed in their godly adornment with their phylacteries and their robes and everything else. And they would stand before the people at the temple and they would tell everyone, "Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. God's got this. It's going to be peaceful. Everything's going to be okay. And there was a time, even in the book of Judges, when the priests of God turned their eye and everything seemed to be right in everybody's own view. There was no right or wrong. And the prophet would stand up and he would agree with that. There were prophets who would watch their own sons who became prophets or priests who would take the sacrifices, and Isaiah had to condemn them, but as they took their own sacrifices from the people and gave the worst to God, and they kept the best portions and even sold them in the streets. Do you remember that? False prophets. They've always been among God's people, and there were false prophets even in the day that Jesus proclaimed this. They were people who looked godly, that looked wonderful, that knew the scriptures, that were able to act out as in the role of a priest or a prophet. But there were many false prophets even in his day. There were many who even claimed during his day that they were the Messiah, that they were Jesus himself. So Jesus gives a forewarning to the people that are there reading this text. And for the next 2,000 years, he says, beware of false prophets. And that gives you an indication. They are here. They are there. They were in the past. They were in that present. And they will be in the future. My dear friends, you can call yourself whatever you want. But God gives a warning to the false prophets and says, you know them by their what? By their fruit. Now, let me just say this. Someone asked me a long time ago, what do you think about someone getting a license on an internet to marry somebody? That's not a false prophet. That's somebody who's just going to marry somebody. It's just like a magistrate. Does that make sense? But now if that person got their credentials off the internet and they began to preach out of God's word and began to malign that word and distort that word and to pretend to be something that they're not as a voice of God, then we're talking a false prophet. And we're going to get a little bit more into that. How do we know the signs of a false prophet? Well, the first thing we need to know is they're there. Do not be misguided. If you ever as a church had the wrong person in the pulpit, if you ever as a church, have you ever as a person known anybody that you have to scratch your head, and I'm sure some people may because of my antics, said, you know, wow, there's something a little bit different about him. But I can tell you that I may be a little bit crazy, but when I stand in the pulpit, when I talk about God's word, this is God's word. Beside who I am, I will not blaspheme or malign the word of God intentionally. God uses all kinds of characters in the ministry, amen? Doesn't make you a false prophet because you like to be funny and no one else thinks you are. You shouldn't laugh at that. But anyway, because I think I'm funny. So, but beware. Jesus said beware. They are there. They are there. And the Bible says they come in sheep's clothing. So that's the first sign of a false prophet. It's someone. The first sign is that it's someone that appears to look the part, but spiritually they're not. I mean, they can talk about all kinds of different things. They can, you know, and we're living in this millennial generation where people don't want to adhere to doctrinal facts and truths. I mean, I've got family members that, you know, it's all about spiritual things, lighting candles and, you know, in worshiping universe and the powers to be and the light, whatever that may be, it doesn't mean that they're not spiritual. It just means that they're on the wrong path. And see, a false prophet comes out and they look the part, but they're not. Let me say this: men and women can fall in their walk with the Lord. Do you agree? Everybody will. But a false prophet comes out and he begins or she begins to speak the word of God but maligns it, and there's no repentance from it. There is no guilt. There is no problem with it. They're intentionally doing it, whatever it may be. And I've known people, beware of false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, that went to Baptist colleges. went to Baptist seminaries. That's 7 years of school right there. Went out to Baptist churches. And with all those credentials, still maligned the Word of God. Twisted it. Preached the wrong message. Shared the wrong gospel. Made a mockery of God's Word. So when a congregation goes out to look at someone's credentials, my friend, that doesn't make them a pastor or God's preacher. You need to look beyond the paper. You need to look beyond the sheepskin. Does that make sense? You need to look at the heart of the person and ask those direct questions about the inerrancy of God's Word. And the Bible tells us, he says, you know, one of the first things is that there are those, one of the first signs of a false prophet, is there are those who look the part, but they're not. The Bible says you will know them by their fruits. Means their actions, or what they do, what they say, how they act, what they say about the Word of God. And I mean, it's something that's common throughout the Scriptures. If you ever take time to take a look throughout the Bible, you find that warning after book after book after book, there's warning about false prophets. Someone who comes in to malign the Word of God, to change it. Listen to what was written by Dr. Luke regarding this topic. He says in Acts chapter number 20, verse, and I'll start in verse number 26. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God, or the Word of God. And he says, therefore take heed to yourselves, to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Listen to what he says. For I know this, that after my departure, Paul speaking says, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. The Apostle Paul saying, listen, false prophets are coming. They're on their way. They're going to come right after I leave. They're going to try to sneak in. In the book of Jude, in that short 20-some-odd verses, the book of Jude tells us that false prophets came in and they snuck in unawares. It's almost as though it's kind of like a crocodile that doesn't make any waves in the pool, but yet it's out there. It's ready to snatch you up, and they will come in and bring in heresies. In the book of Galatians, chapter number 1, Paul writes to the churches scattered throughout Galatia, and he tells them, he says, if anybody comes and preaches any other gospel than what I've preached, let him be damned, or let him be accursed. And he says it twice, because he knew that there would be those people who would come in and preach the wrong message. In the book of Ephesians, listen to what it says in the Scriptures as Paul writes to the church of Ephesus. He says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now listen to the purpose. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the building up of the body of Christ, till we come together in unity, faith, and a knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Listen to verse 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from the whole body, joined and knit together, every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. So Paul writes to the church of Ephesus and to the church of Galatians. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Smells pretty strong there.
Only
wow. You remember Jackie Gleason? Okay, never mind. That's silly. But anyway, yeah, Jackie Gleason. But anyway, yeah. You're just such a youngster, Cody. But anyway, so Paul's writing to Ephesus, Galatians, we see it in the scriptures, and even in the book of Revelation, it talks about the false prophets, the beast himself that will come out and do what? Deceive the entire world. And so we know that they're on their way. We know that they come into the church, that they creep in unawares, that nobody knows. Now, and we know them according to the scriptures. Not only, you like my goatee? She keeps rubbing her chin. Pam wanted to buy me a razor for a going away gift. So anyway, you're teasing me, young lady. So anyway, as Paul gives out this word about being careful, he says, listen, he says they're out there, and when I leave, they're going to creep in. They're going to come in. They're going to try to distort or pervert the word of God. And you will know them by their fruits. Well, so that's the other part of how to identify a false prophet. You know them by their fruits. Well, what is the standard? There's got to be a standard whether someone is a kumquat or a grape. You know what I'm saying? You want to know, what are they supposed to be? What is the standard as to what this person is supposed to be? How are they supposed to act? What are they supposed to do? How will I know that they're a false prophet? And I know in all the churches I've ever pastored, I've been very, very strict about doctrinal adherence. Because you know them by their fruit. Let me just say this, that Jesus is saying, when they go to the Word of God and they pervert the Word of God and they malign the Word of God and they twist the Word of God, you know what they're producing. Compared to what? The Word of God. Compared to this. It's not to compare whether you like them, enjoy them. It doesn't matter. They're great people. Awesome. I mean, shysters are great people, right? I mean, they really are. You think con artists are bad people? No, they, I love you. I mean, you know, they're all into it. They never believe a car dealer that tells you, let me be honest with you. Am I right? You know, because if they got to say that, there's a problem. But they come across this way, and they come across and they appeal to the people and to their ears. And in the book of Timothy, Paul writes to the young preacher. He says, they'll come in and they'll preach messages that will satisfy your itching ears. But what they've got to say is false, is wrong, it's not true. Well, what becomes the standard for what is good fruit and bad fruit? It's the Word of God. It's this book. Now, you know them by their fruit. So the question comes down, well, how will I know? Well, if you don't know the Word of God, you won't know. If you're not testing what they're saying to the Scriptures. And I go back to what I was saying, that I've been strict about that in every church I've ever pastored. I'm not saying everybody's got to be a Southern Baptist, amen? I believe there are people outside of Southern Baptists that are going to heaven. I believe there's some Southern Baptists that are going straight to hell because they don't know the Word of God. They just don't know it. But God's people in our society today do not know the basic doctrines of our faith. And we need to know it, because when the false prophet comes in, we've got to stand there with the standard of truth and say, this is it. Let me give you some standards of truth. Can I do that? If systematic theology is one of the things that you study when you go to school or seminary, and it doesn't make you any smarter than anybody else. But you learn some of the basic facts of the Christian faith. Let me give you a couple of them. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It's not negotiable. Someone tells me I don't believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ because virgins don't become impregnated by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen. False prophet. Someone tells me that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, a part of the Trinity, was there at the creation. And if they don't believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, false prophet. Someone that does not believe in a literal resurrection of the dead body of Jesus Christ on the third day, false prophet. Someone who does not believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again, false prophet. Someone that adorns themselves to be better than the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. False prophet. Someone who takes the glory for themselves instead of giving it to God. False prophet. Someone who does not believe in the inerrancy, infallible Word of God. False prophet. You say, well, you're pretty strict. I am very strict, and I think you need to be very strict. I don't want to give a dollar, a penny, or anything else from a congregation, and nor should you, to somebody or an organization, whatever it may be, that does not support the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. I've heard some people say, well, the Mormons are good people. They're false prophets. They don't believe in the Trinity. Well, the Jehovah's Witnesses, man, they're nice. They invite me over. They want to have dinner with me. They'll come and sit in your house. They'll come in unawares. They'll sit and talk with you about these things. But they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the living God wrapped in human flesh. They believe he was born like Satan, the brother of Satan. False prophets. And we say, well, we don't want to be mean to these folks. My friend, I just want to tell you this. We don't want to be mean to them, but we want to say it as it is. False prophets. We have to be careful what we read. Many people in the congregations picked up books and periodicals and devotionals. And the first thing you need to do is find out where those people believe about doctrine. Well, they make me feel good when I read it. They could be shysters. Remember, shysters, hucksters, they want to do what? Make you feel good. Well, they talk to me. They talk to my spirit. Good, great. That's good. But it doesn't make them right. You need to check out who they are, the author of that person. Find out what their statement of faith is. If they don't believe in the things that I just mentioned to you, don't give them a penny. They're there. They're out there. You say, well, you're being too strict. Listen, my friend, I want to tell you what. They are there. We wouldn't have all the craziness we got in our world today and people following if people didn't stand up on the steps of Congress and everywhere else adorned in clerical garb supporting abortion and everybody saying, the clergy says it's okay. The Bible says it's not okay. That it is murder. To take a child from the womb and to kill it is murder. But that's an old book. My friend, what is the standard to test what fruits they're bearing is this word right here. So, Jesus said they were coming. We know that they can come with all kinds of credentials. They can look good. They can come in a tie and coat. They can come with a license. They can come with an ordination. That doesn't make them right. The way you test them is you ask directly the Word of God. And the only way you know how to ask directly is to ask the questions from the Word of God themselves. I've never had an ordination committee. Let me back up. I've never had a pastor search committee ask me anything biblical. I really haven't. Nobody ever asked, what do you believe about the Trinity? They just assume because I've been to a Baptist college and a Baptist seminary, I believe in the Trinity. Never asked me what I believe about the infallibility of God's Word. Never asked me about the resurrection. They asked me things like this. Can you grow a church? Do you know how to raise money? Do you know how to get more money in the church? Can you support nursing home ministries? How are you about children in the church? Should they not be there? These are the kind of questions I get. And I'm going, they're missing the whole target. I mean, it's easy to slide in. You understand what I'm saying? It's easy. This needs to be the standard. Those need to be the questions. What do you believe about the Word of God? Is it infallible or is it not? And if they say, well, you know, it's an old-time book. Boop! You should really get a hole put right here. It just slides out and they drop into it. What do you believe about the virgin birth? I had a friend of mine. He is a friend of mine, and he was a chaplain. And, you know, we sat there discussing the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And, I said, I don't know how you can be a Christian and not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, because God's supernatural, is he not? And the next thing I know, I got a book in the mail from Princeton University Seminary, and it was all about the false teaching of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It wasn't even worth bathroom reading. I mean, you just chunk that thing, get rid of it. It's not worth looking at. Those are the questions that need to be asked. Whether they're nice and friendly or smile, it doesn't matter. They're known by their fruit. The standard of that fruit is God's word. This is it. And what a lot of congregations have a problem with is they don't know the word of God themselves. They don't know what to ask. Well, they're good people. They're nice. He's friendly. My dear friend, that's how deceivers get in. So those need to be the questions that are asked. However you search for a pastor, I will pray that you will ask the right questions. Because you can grow a church on plastic alligators and cheeseburgers in movies and watching Andy Griffin in the Sunday school hour. You could possibly grow a congregation that way. But you won't grow Christians that way. So, my last sermon at Fairhaven's Baptist Church is all about beware of false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing. Be careful. Know what they believe. But you need to know what you believe. And again, that's why, you know, first at the get-go, one of the things we brought out was the Baptist faith and message. It doesn't make that all Baptists are the only people. But those are some of the basic beliefs that have been what we call Christian dogmatics, or those things that are Christian dogma or doctrine that have been adhered to by mainline denominations since Christianity evolved after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tested, tried. Those are the standards. So I'm just asking, imploring you to be people of the word. And that I hear 5 years from now or 10 years from now when I'm at the nursing home. No, that'd still be too young. I'm thinking I'm not going there until I'm about 98 or 99. I don't know if she'll put up with me or not that long. We put a swing out yesterday, 16 feet in the air. Big round swing. It's got a swivel on it and everything. We put it up there and we worked on it all day long. Pushed it with nobody in it. And I said, "You going to get in it?" And she said, "No." I said, she said, "You going to get in it?" I said, "No." We both limped into the house and pulled a blanket up over ourselves as we went in the house. You just get old. You know what I'm talking about? And just the thrill's all gone. The thrill is setting the temperature a little higher on the... You still have heat. It's a good thing. Please, please, take the serious the matter of doctrinal discernment when you look. I'll end with this story. There was a fine preacher that I knew. I went to school with. His name was Darrell Gilliard, and I don't mind using his name. And I listened to him preach. He went to the Texas State Baptist Convention rally and preached. Man, I was hallelujah and amen, and man, I was into it. And just wonderful, wonderful preacher, man. Man, I mean, he was putting it out. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, if you weren't on fire, your wood was wet. I mean, it was. And I was amen and hallelujah. And then he even preached at the national convention in Louisiana. And I heard him preach. Darrell Gilliard, man, we were all just great preacher. And several weeks later, after it was all over with, I read in the paper to find out that everything in his life was a lie. He said he was raised in Florida underneath a bridge. That's how he lived after his parents had buried him. Not true. Found out while he was preaching in Louisiana, and we were at the Superdome, I mean it was full, that he was making 1-800 calls and had prostitutes coming in. After that came out, they found out that in his church that he actually molested women that were there. And I said to myself, They creep in unawares. He could probably preach, man, and I heard him preach. He could preach, but I don't know what he believed. Because you know them by their what? By their fruit. There's a problem. So beware. Let's pray. Fathers, we meet together. We ask that you'll give Holy Spirit insight to the congregation here known as Fair Havens. That you'll fill them with the Holy Spirit and you'll give them the ability to discern between someone who's a false prophet and someone who comes in to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. That they'll not look at appearance, they'll not look at clothing, but they'll look at the love of Jesus that this person has and their doctrinal stance in such important areas. Father, we love you. We thank you for our fellowship. I pray for the next chapter of this congregation as well for the next chapter of our lives. Until we meet again, dear Lord, watch over them, protect them, watch over this flock. And I pray it and ask it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.